the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Romans.
Well, Chef Edward Lee, I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media with Stephen George.
Budding country music star, J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the Ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.am studio. Here's Rick.
And how do you like that, regular listeners? That is our new Open, produced by my good buddy Dan Vonderheid, who started the Louisville.am network and has been producing this show since the beginning, more than 5 years ago. And the clothes is going to be new, too. So, and thanks also to the lovely Diane Williamson for lending me her voice and reading our new Open. So how about that? Lots of new stuff on the Rusty Satellite Show. In addition to the new Open and new clothes, there is today, I have, as always, you know, this is the show with the most important people in the Ville. The most interesting people in the Ville is our tagline for the Rusty Satellite Show. This week, coming up in the second part of the show, it is coming around to time for the Tailspin Ale Fest. There's a lot of changes this year. I have Trevor Cravens on with me. I'm visiting on Wednesday afternoon, along with Mike Fisk, who is the owner of Evergreen Liquors. And they are the new sponsor of Tailspin. There's a lot of news about that business as well coming up in the second part of the show. The sponsor of the show are Passport Health Plan, which is building a new headquarters in the West End. And if you go to passportwellbeing.com, the community, you can see dozens and dozens of stories I've written about the West End and the people in it. Please visit. Also, my friends at Heiser Health, who are have responsible for getting me healthy and now nursing me back to health after a little incident I had a few weeks ago, and they can help you too. So go to HeiserHealth.com and find out about the great programs they have over there. And also, my good buddies at the Eye Care Institute, right here in Butchertown, 589-1500, if you want to give them a call and make an appointment for anything, either LASIK like I had last summer, which is great, life-changing experience, or just regular exams or anything else going on with your eyes, the Eye Care Institute is the place to go. All right, and as I mentioned earlier, Dan Vonderheid, the producer, he's getting out of this podcast business. I have taken over and now am operating the studio. If you have a podcast idea and want to make it a reality, I can help you with that. This is a full-blown podcast production business. Love to talk to you. You can give me a call or hit me up on Facebook. Somebody did that this week, and I've got a meeting with them very soon to talk about a new podcast. So you're going to see a lot more activity right here on the Louisville.am network. All right, let's get on to our first guest. It's Joshua Moore, who is enjoying his moment of fame, but he's been around a long time and doing great work. He is the chef at Valari Restaurant, one of my favorite places, right there on Frankfort Avenue. I can walk there and I do sometimes. But Josh was featured on the Food Network show Chop last week and won. And you're going to hear about that experience that he had, the challenge he had to keep it a secret for almost a year, and some other things going on about Josh. Very interesting guy, and very personable, and always welcoming. He's a very popular guy there at Frankfort Avenue at Volare. So let's get into my interview with Josh right here.
I admit I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
And did I hear correctly, Joshua Moore, you worked out twice today?
Yes, yes. I started that Iron Tribe 6-week fitness challenge, and I leave town tomorrow, so I wanted to get all three workouts in this week, so I did two today.
Wow, that's commendable. You're making us all look bad. You had a big week last week.
I did. Very, very exciting week. A lot of anticipation. It's been, almost a year and a half long process from when Bio was filmed and went up to New York last January and taped the show, so I haven't been able to talk about it for quite some time.
Okay.
So yeah, a lot of build up.
Well, just to set it straight for the audience, the Chopped series on Food Network, you were on, and your episode, I guess for you, finally aired last week.
Yes,
right?
Finally.
How long did you have to keep that secret?
It's been a year and a half. Been a year since I actually did the show and knew I won.
Wow.
So yeah, quite a while.
I don't know that I could keep a secret that long.
Yeah, you know, it's been pretty easy for the past year. Now, the past like 3 weeks, once we actually got the air date and I announced the air date, so then Everybody knew I did. A lot of people didn't even know I did the show.
Right.
So once the air date was announced, it's been a little harder. You know, every customer that's walked in the building has been like, "Did you win? How far did you get? What were your ingredients? Who were your judges?"
And you know, my
response was always, "You'll have to tune into the show."
Were you able to tell like your wife? Or I mean, it was a how much of a secret? I mean,
my wife was literally the only person. Period that knew.
Okay.
Yeah, my dad, my mom. I was driving my mom nuts because I wouldn't tell her anything about the show. You know, and our little boy Gibson, he went up to New York with us when we did the show. We went up a few days early, did Statue of Liberty and museums and great dinners, and so Gibson went to New York with us, but didn't know the outcome.
Oh,
he just knew I was. He knew what I was doing because they'd obviously taped at the farm, so he knew we were going up there for me to do Chopped, but at the end of that day, I couldn't tell him anything.
All right, well, let me just very quickly review what your challenge was, because I've heard about it, but you really don't know what you're going to be doing until they
you really don't. You know, a lot of people have asked me, you know, how much of that's like TV versus, you know, real, and you know, you were there the full day taping, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, taping the walking and the, you know, different things, but the actual cooking challenge, it is 100% real timeline, what you see on TV. The app really is 20 minutes, the entree and dessert are 30. The basket, they give you zero hints or anything going into it. So when you open that appetizer basket, I mean, it really is your first glimpse into it.
Wow.
And then they do announce the theme of the show then, so you at least know the theme for the next two rounds, but it still doesn't really help you.
Okay. So in the what was in your box when you
opened? So the theme was Deadly Catches. Mm-hmm. The first box, appetizer box, to me was the easiest of the three. You know, Alaska King Crab, which, you know, I mean, that's like $1 million ingredient. It's awesome. just the way it is out of the basket. Finger limes, which I hadn't really worked with before, but I knew what they were. Some kelp jerky, which was, you know, different. It was like mushrooms and kelp, and so that was a little different ingredient for me. And then salt water. So the first round, you know, I would say it was the easiest, like, to, you know, come together in my mind what I was going to make.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, "How do you all come up with something so fast?" And I've told people, I don't know about the other chefs, but it kind of progresses. You know, you open that basket and immediately I'm like, okay, I know I need to get that crab meat out of that shell. And then while I'm doing that, I start thinking about what I'm going to do with the other ingredients.
Wow.
And the other courses were like that too. You know, the second course, you know, the main ingredient was marlin. I do a ton with fresh fish at the restaurant. Have never cooked marlin. Me and the other two chefs all overcooked our marlin. We all treated it like swordfish, and we should have treated it like tuna. So, you know, that had never happened again. But also had cracked freka in that, which is a cracked green rice, great grain. I've never used it, never heard of it, but I love it. I've been using it at the restaurant since. It's great.
Wow.
And then jellyfish salad, which never seen, never tasted. So that was a pretty wild ingredient to throw into the mix.
Wasn't there a ice cream?
Yeah, thing? So the dessert basket was the tricky one. And they said it was one of the more difficult dessert baskets they had seen. Sea urchin was our curveball ingredient in the dessert basket.
Yeah.
So, you know, sea urchin is hard to incorporate into regular dishes, much less into a dessert dish.
It doesn't sound sweet.
No, and I did a sea urchin ice cream, and, you know, luckily just nailed it. The texture, the consistency, everything was great. You know, I did vanilla and saffron in it, and it really worked well with that briny sea taste that you get from the urchin.
Okay. Well, I know you had a great full house here the night of the airing, the taping, but didn't I read online that you recreated what you made?
Yeah, this past weekend I did, you know, as close as I could, some of the dishes from the show. You know, like the marlin. Marlin was banned in the U.S. 3 months ago, so I couldn't even get marlin, so I did tuna. And, you know, just kind of played around with some of it.
Yeah.
It was fun getting some of the ingredients from the show in and throwing that into my nightly specials. And, yeah, everybody loved it.
Okay. Well, let's switch gears a minute. I know about you and this great restaurant. We're sitting here in Villari today. But I don't think a lot of people know about your farm. And it's out in Taylorsville, right? And how do you have time to farm?
I get that question a lot. My usual response is we don't sleep in the summertime. But no, it's a lot, you know, trying to balance, you know, a restaurant, which is already a full-time and a half job, and then a farm. And, you know, Gibson, you know, he's into soccer and a lot of activities in the summer.
And you got to work out twice a day.
Just once a day. Normally once a day. Yeah, today was the exception. But no, the farm has really been a huge part of the restaurant. I think it's been one of the keys to Villari's success. You know, it's something that sets us apart. You know, all chefs at any nice restaurant are farm to table. You know, we all use as much local as we can.
Sure.
And, you know, this takes it a whole other step. So we're literally from the seed all the way to the plate. Heirloom tomatoes are our big thing. Last year we planted 1,100 plants, 55 varieties. And, you know, it's just amazing to, you know, pick the tomato the day it's being served versus it being picked a week ahead of time when it's still a little green and then it sits. I mean, they have so much more flavor, you know, the way we're doing it. It's a ton of work, but it's so worth it.
Okay. So just a handful of things. Tomatoes, what else you
bring? We start planting early spring, and we just finished harvesting a week ago for winter crops. So, I mean, everything. Brussels, cabbage, cauliflower, lettuces, herbs, peppers, okra. I mean, little bit of everything. Berries, fruit trees. We've got about 3 acres counting the orchard.
Okay. Well, it's amazing that you know how to do all that. I was reading a little bit about your background. You started a young age in local restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
You pick up the knowledge along the way. You go to school.
School of Hard Knocks. I always knew I wanted to be a chef. You know, I'd stand in a chair at my grandmother, my mom and my dad, both of my grandmothers at their stoves when I was 5, 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't wait to bake and cook. I'd go to their house on the weekends, and we'd just cook all weekend. So I always loved it. And, you know, just got into it early on, had a great opportunity, and just never turned back.
Wow. So no formal schooling at all?
No formal training at all.
Wow.
No, but I've worked under some amazing chefs that, you know, taught me a lot early on. And
yeah. Like, who do you look up to in this?
You know, my early day mentors, Agostino Gabrielli, you know, he was amazing to me early on at Vincenzo's. John Plymel at Puccini's. You know, John and I worked together for 7 years.
Okay.
Just great teacher, very patient, taught me a lot. But you know, aside from where I've worked, you know, there's so many amazing chefs in the city.
Sure.
And, you know, when I was, you know, younger, you know, the Ping Louis, the Kathy Careys, the Sean Wards, you know, Jim Gerhardt, Dean Corbett, you know, I used to look up to all these guys. So then when I got a little older and started doing events and stuff and got to work with them all, it's been really awesome.
Right. Well, it's a real cool community. I know we talked about the tribute event coming up for Dean Corbett.
Yes.
And you were involved in that with our friend Jerry Ziegert, who was on the show last week, really recruiting the chefs, right?
Yeah. I'm on the part of the committee that is trying to get all the chefs lined up. And I mean, we've got just amazing list. I mean, and you know how the city is. There is so much culinary talent in this town. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I guess you call up some of these guys who are basically your competitors, sort of, and ask them to do something. You think that's unique to Louisville, or how would you describe how willing people are to do?
I wouldn't say unique to Louisville, but it's definitely different in Louisville. I mean, you know, the chef community here, I think, is much more close-knit than in some other cities. You know, we don't look at each other as competition. We look at each other as colleagues, and
yeah.
You know, something I love about this business, there's always something new to learn. And every time I go and do an event or cook with another chef somewhere, or even doing the Chop Show, you know, you learn something from other chefs, yeah. and you pick up techniques and ideas, and you know.
Well, that's the other question pops into my head. You're on this national television show, and you get all this notoriety. And from what are the benefits for you? I've heard a story about what you're doing with the money, right?
Yes, yeah, doing a bathroom remodel with the buddy for okay. for my wife. I won the show; she won the prize money.
All right, but. Is it? Do you do it for the notoriety? I guess there's a sense you just want to show you can be the best.
Yeah,
in your field,
I mean,
right?
just the you know the sense of accomplishment to you know put myself out there, out of my comfort zone with you know they ask you going into it what will your kryptonite be? Will it be the time restraint or the pressure or the cameras? And I said all that I'm fine. It will be ingredients for me. You know, I've done Italian food my whole career and I do it well, but I haven't ventured out a lot from that.
Okay.
So I knew going into it that would be my challenge, and it was. But at the same time, it taught me about a lot of new ingredients and different ways to use things, and made me, you know, step out of my comfort zone and,
sure.
you know, jump in there and just go at it. And you know, the other three chefs were phenomenal. You know, we've Will and I have stayed in touch since the show, and Sarah, and I mean, they're just awesome. You know, I've told other people there wasn't a bad plate that entire day. I mean, it was really fun to cook beside everybody, and just an awesome experience all around.
Yeah, well, really, that's really cool. And you certainly did well on television. I guess the question is, what's next in that part of your life?
I don't know. I mean, it would depend on if I got called to do something else. I probably would. I've always liked TV. You know, chefs who'd either love it or hate it,
yeah.
and. You know, I've done a lot of the, you know, morning news segment, monthly recipes, all that, because I've always enjoyed it, so.
Okay. Yeah, it's a very interesting aspect of the business. Chefs promote themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, how did Chop originate?
They came into Louisville and scouted the Louisville market, and I think there was about a dozen of us that did the show. Some have aired. I know a few have not aired yet. I know there's a couple viewing dates set for some other chefs.
Okay.
I know Dallas McGarity and Ping Louie, I know their show is set for a viewing February 19th, I believe it is. So
you can probably tell me whether or not they win.
I have no idea. We've all been very tight-lipped about it. Yes, that is February 19th. So, you know, it's been fun, you know, talk to other chefs that have done the show since. You know, I keep saying once all of our shows have aired, we should all get together and have lunch and just talk about the overall experience.
Kaiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Kaiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And thank you to Josh Amore for the hospitality over at Filari Restaurant. Really enjoyed the opportunity to go over there and talk with him about it. What a great story that is. he had quite an experience, and couldn't happen to a nicer guy. He's involved in a lot of other charity events around town, most noted for the Signature Chefs, which I believe comes up in the fall, benefiting the March of Dimes. So anyway, this is the part of the show we talk about some things, some people who have been on the show, and some things that are going around town. Joshua Moore's friend Jerry Ziegert, who was on the show last week, talking about the tribute to Dean Corbett. I understand that the launch of ticket sales for that event went very well, but you might go back and look again on Facebook. It's a tribute to Dean Corbett. You can look that up, and if you haven't gotten tickets, go see if you can get one. All right. So I always talk about things that I am involved in and interested in around town, and I couldn't help but hear this week there's a lot of news about the old Cardinal Stadium being torn down. And, of course, many of you probably have a lot of memories of that place. I have a particular set of memories that, well, it might be fun to just reminisce. Uh, my, my, it wasn't my first exposure, but one of the last, I played in my last high school football game at Cardinal Stadium in the fall of 1977. It was raining. It was cold. It was against Trinity. We got our butts kicked. And in doing so, I was a return man on kickoffs. I may have set a record for most kickoff returns because they kept scoring. They kept kicking off. And we had a really, an All-American type guy named Chuck Coleman deep with me on those kick returns. And they kicked away from him. So you knew who got it. So anyway, that was one of my, it was very exciting though. You know, even though we lost and we got our butts kicked, I mean, playing as a 16-year-old kid on AstroTurf for the first time. We had special shoes and seeing the crowd and under the lights. It was all very exciting. I did a lot of other things there at the stadium. You know, I can remember I was around when the Louisville Colonels, I think they left in like 72 or something. The Louisville Colonels were the Boston Red Sox farm team, and it was a great place to go watch baseball. I used to run around that place like a madman when I could get in over there. And then later the Louisville Redbirds came, and it were bigger crowds. I remember the biggest memory I have from the Redbirds era was one time they had a post-game concert, and one of my favorites was there, Huey Lewis and the News. And we were so excited about that show. It was very exciting. But don't you know it? Huey played about one song. After his first song, the weather started moving in. There was rain, there were thunder, and I was there with my pal Mark Hebert and in a group, and Huey tried. I got to give him credit. He tried to continue the show, but the weather just got worse and worse, and it was finally canceled, and we left. That was too bad. Louisville football played there for a long time. I remember I was at the game where Brett Favre brought Southern Mississippi back on a long last-minute pass play. I was actually in the parking lot when it happened, and embarrassed to say that because I should have stayed and watched it. Not that I could have prevented Favre from beating that Louisville team. They used to have these summer concerts there too, and the one I remember, because I just remember who was on the bill. It was Journey and who we used to call Ted Noyes, Ted Nugent, as well as Eddie Money, and this was in the late 70s. It was really quite the thing. So I'm sure you've had a lot of things happen over there and remember them. But anyway, it's finally coming down. It's such a visible spot from 65. I understand that there might be an opportunity. The state has been trying to tear that thing down for years, and has finally got the money together. I think there's a way. You got to follow it in the media, but I think there's a way you can like buy the seats or something if you want a seat or two for your basement or whatever. But anyway, that's happening. You'll see that on 60 while you're driving by on 65 this week. Cardinal Stadium, after all these years, finally coming on down. All right, there's some other news. Another former guest. If you remember, in May, I had Andrea Wilson. She's the maturation master at Michter's, and we talked about Michter's building a new facility that would be open for tours of its whiskey production facilities downtown. So they're out in Shively, and Andrea was telling me about the opening of their new facility downtown at the Fort Nelson building. And of course, these things never happen the way they're supposed to. She said on the show that they were going to open in the fall. Well, just a few minutes, few weeks later, on January 31st, that place is actually going to open. They're going to start doing tours on February 2nd. So just think of all the tourism that you can experience now in downtown. You know, the Fraser Museum is now the head of the tour. That's where you start if you don't know where you're going. But just think, there's the Evan Williams, there's the Peerless, there's the Old Forester, there's the Rabbit Hole, there's Copper and King, and I'm sure I'm missing someone. But those attractions are all available downtown. You don't have to really drive out to, like, way down to Loretto at Maker's Mark or Bardstown or E-Town to experience that kind of thing. It's great for the tourism for our city, so I'm very happy about that. There was some news. I can't believe I didn't walk up and talk to her the other night. I went to an event in J-Town that focused on veterans, and Heather French Henry was there, of course, because she's at everything that relates to veterans. She spoke, and she was very gracious and very composed and confident. Her husband was not with her. No, Steve Henry was not there. But anyway, I just read in the Courier Journal that she is going to run for Secretary of State. A lot of people have been speculating about her political career for years, and so she is finally this year, I guess, stepping in, and I suspect there aren't any other big names. She will have the most name recognition, without a doubt, of any of the candidates. She's a Democrat, and good for her running for Secretary of State. That event I went to in J-Town, the lieutenant governor, yeah, $5 to you if you can tell me who the current lieutenant governor is. It's a woman named Janine Hampton. Hope I got her name right. I'm really not sure. But she is the African-American woman who Matt Bevin chose as his running mate. She's a Republican. And she didn't have anything much to say about it looks like she's being replaced as the on Governor Bevin's team going into the fall election. It looks like she didn't say anything about her current job in a 10-15 minute speech. Anyway, it's a very interesting situation there as things gear up for the political season as we're getting ready. I'm looking forward to it. I like to follow that stuff. Speaking of politics, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I really don't want to weigh in on this whole thing that happened in Washington with the kids from Covington Catholic. But in summary, what happened was at first it looked like it was a egregious, awful event where these kids from Northern Kentucky, they went to high school at Covington Catholic High School, were basically being racist and making fun of an African-American, not an African-American, an indigenous American who was doing a chant down there. Well, it turns out that first perception may not have been that accurate, but it was interesting to me, without getting into the details of the story, interesting to me how the politics lined up. You know, everybody that's a Republican, Bevin, Trump, all those guys, they all lined up on the side of the white kids in the Make America Great Again hats, and all the typical Democrats like Yarmouth, a lot of the media lined up on the side of condemning these kids for what they apparently did, and that's basically the end of the story. I mean, it's a bunch of war of words and propaganda. I just have to say though, the funniest thing that came out of it was Mark Murphy's cartoon in the Courier Journal. He all these kids were wearing Make America Great Again hats, and that's become a symbol of this. I'll read it to you. This is what his cartoon said. This is what it should really say on those hats. This isn't just a hat. It's a symbol. It means I support xenophobia and deny science. It says I don't know or care about constitutional norms or the role America plays in a hard world. I support a man who acts like a criminal, a traitor, and a racist, but I don't care. And sorry, folks, but I think that's the most accurate representation of those guys. We've got problems on both sides, and people like me, pointing out this stuff, it probably doesn't help. Anyway, it's fun. It's kind of fun to do. All right, so what's going on around town? There was another report that came out this week. Some of the work I've been doing for Passport involves groups in West Louisville. And, in fact, I just did a story with Bridget Johnson, who is the COO of New Directions Housing. New Directions put out a report this week about vacant and abandoned properties in Louisville. There's about 5,000 of them, if you can believe it. 5,000 vacant and abandoned properties. And I was talking to another individual who wants to live in the West End. Her name is Ramona Lindsay. She's an artist. She works for the Community Foundation. She was telling me how hard it is to find market rate apartments in the West End. In the West End, the apartments are basically all Section 8. And Bridget told me Bridget Nelson told me that they have 1,000 units in the West End, and they're all occupied by people who are paying 30% of their income, which is sometimes zero, she said. So it is a tall order to bring West Louisville, out of the economic disparity that it's in. But we're trying. There's a lot of things going on that are going to make that happen, make it closer to reality. There are home ownership programs underway. There are programs that will to build the economy, like the new Passport building, the new YMCA. I talked to the director of the new YMCA last week, and he's very excited about what they're going to be able to do there for the people of the neighborhood. So that is something you ought to really pay attention to. It's a big part. If they talk about the 9th Street divide, it's a big part of our city, the West End. I'm down there all the time, and it's certainly something to know about. All right. I have renewed my interest in Actors Theater, so I went to the play Pipeline a couple of weeks ago with my son Nick. It was great. It was tremendous actors and interesting story that relates to today's times. Now, the next piece that's coming up, I think it's next week or the week after, Hershey Felder as Irving Berlin is a musical journey through our country's history of Irving Berlin tunes, and So I don't know. I'm keeping an open mind for it. It might be nice to know how some of those tunes got their start. The songs like God Bless America or There's No Business Like Show Business, I know was in the advertisements for the play that's coming up. So take a look at actorstheater.com. Or is it org? It's one of those. Look it up and get yourself a ticket. Go down to Actors Theater. It's a really cool experience down there. The speaking of art, the Oscar nominations came out, and I can only say I've got a new list of movies I want to see. But the ones I have seen that were nominated: A Star Is Born, Bohemian Rhapsody. Those are my favorites, and Vice. Those are my favorites so far. Planning to see Green Book as well, so I know I'm going to see that one at least. So I'm not much into the the Black Panther types, the Marvel comic sort of movies. But anyway, there's going to be a lot of talk about the Oscars in the upcoming few weeks. I was disappointed to see The Mule, one of my favorite movies of the year, did not get any attention from the voters. All right, so that's what's going on in Louisville this week in January. Glad you are joining me and listening. And up next, I have to tell you about my trip out to Evergreen Liquors in Middletown. That store is now a big part of the sponsorship of the Tailspin Ale Fest, which I've been talking about for 3 or 4 years on here now. They have it in February. This year, they're not in the hangar. They're all outdoors, which scares me. Honestly, about the weather, but we talk about that in the interview and some other things. So I think you'll find it very interesting. So stay tuned, and here's my interview with Mike and Trevor.
All right, it is the time of year for the Tailspin Ale Fest. I'm with Trevor Cravens.
Good afternoon, again. I guess it is, right?
I know, we've done this before, and we're all set for a another winter event.
Cheers to you, by the way.
Cheers, yeah.
Good to see you.
Thanks to Mike over here for providing us. Mike Fisk is with us, the owner of... You're not the owner, but you're...
No, not the owner. I'm just the one that works the hardest.
You're the guy that works the hardest at Evergreen Liquors. That's good. Mike, thanks for the beer.
Oh, absolutely. Enjoy.
It's a West 6th, what'd you say?
West 6th Low Beam, so it's their New England-style IPA they came out with a couple months back, but it's a good light choice.
Note to everyone else out there, podcast interviews go better with beer.
They always,
always do. Most interviews go
That's
better
a with universal
beer.
Truth, yeah. As with most things that involve beer.
All right, Trevor. Well, you've been doing this for a few years now. What's new this year?
Yeah, it's our 6th year. So I think the biggest thing that people are going to notice is we are 100% outdoors this year. We are not going to be in the hangar. The hangar is going to serve as a backdrop this year.
Okay.
And that's... they're working on some renovations in the hangar and hopefully going to get it up to code so that we can get back into the hangar.
Okay.
But we have contracted about 40,000 square feet of tents. So we're actually going to have more space under cover than we've had in the past. Same number of breweries are going to be involved. Some of our big highlight features, the Silent Disco will be there. Back again this year, some plane displays. The Kentucky section will be there again. Cox's is adding a new cigar pavilion.
Okay.
So the Cox's Outlet, Smoker's Outlet Cigar Pavilion, as well as the Cox's Bourbon Barrel Beer Bar this year. Unlike years past, we're moving it out of the main tent. We're going to give it its own space so that it can be just, it's always been a really busy attraction. So we want to give it its own space this year.
Awesome. Well, that's cool. Well, so there's music? There's like a band and stuff?
Yeah. You know, we really enjoyed our band last year. 100% Poly was so much fun.
I've seen them before.
So we're bringing them back.
But I was going to tell you that I think the move out of the hangar will be good for the sound. I always felt like the sound at the band inside the hangar was kind of a challenge.
It's a large hollow metal building. It's yeah. It's not really built for concerts, but... so yes, the band will be in a tent, which will, you know, improve the sound somewhat. And we'd actually moved them out last year as well, and it was a significant improvement.
Yeah.
So they will be back, and we're excited to have them for the 2nd year.
Okay. Well, the big thing is, I guess, you get a new sponsor.
Yeah.
Right, which is why Mike is here.
We have a new presenting sponsor. Yeah. Okay. So we're really happy.
Now, how'd that come about?
Well, I've known Trevor and Tish for five years or so. We partnered with them on another partnership or another festival that they run in the area. And Trevor called me about a month and a half ago and asked me if I'd be interested. And I mean, I've been to Tailspin the last couple years and know how big of a festival it is, know how big of an event it is in Louisville, to the beer community in Louisville. So we were happy to jump on board and partner up with them. So I know what kind of festivals they run, and
all right,
it was a pretty easy decision on our part.
Well, good. Well, Evergreen has quite a name out here. It's been out here quite a few years.
Yep.
And Evergreen Liquors, I guess, is among the best known individual stores around, right?
We like to think so. Yeah, it's been around since the 50s, one way or another, selling alcohol and as a liquor
store. Right here on this corner that whole time?
In this corner. It's gotten bigger over the years. There was an expansion quite a few years back to kind of double the size and give us a nice big storage unit in the basement. So it's always been on the corner. It's gone from, I believe it started as a gas station, a pumping station,
wow,
and it's kind of morphed into what it is today. But yeah, we like to think it's one of the, we like to think it is the best liquor store in the city of Louisville, and we definitely have a reputation around this park.
Okay. Well, it seems like a good event to get involved in. Trevor, they're even having, you guys even brought in axes this year.
Yeah, so that is a new attraction. Flying Axes is one of our new sponsors. Last summer, they constructed a mobile axe throwing unit. So it's a trailer, comes out. It's got a very safe, sturdy cage that goes over it. And
I think when you talk
out
about this, you got to say safe every three words, right?
That's a lawyer partnership.
We had the sponsorship cleared by Middleton Reitlinger, our attorneys and our sponsors as well, and they. But it's a really, I don't know if you've not been to Flying Axes before. This is a really neat way to experience it. They'll be out there set up at the event outdoors. You'll be able to throw, I think, 1 to 3 tries.
Uh-huh.
You know, and as long as everybody's acting responsible, I'm sure that they'll keep it going. And we have a well-behaved crowd. I'll say this much for Tailspin. For the most part, 99% of the attendees are always well-behaved. So I don't expect there to be any issues.
Yeah, which is something kind of almost an upset, I guess, when you say, here's an event, we're going to see how many different kind of beers we can sample.
Well, right, we're going to put a lot of options out there for you. The goal is obviously not to see how many you can sample. The goal is to seek out.
It's not. That's what I've been doing all these years.
You can't find, you know. Do you remember your favorite samples?
No. I poured the, I volunteered a couple of years. I know I poured the chocolate and peanut butter beers one year, and, you know, that was a blast, but you don't want to have more than 2 or 3 samples.
Well, here's the, I mean, there's plenty of samples available, but the goal as an attendee, this is what a beer festival does for you, right? It gives you the opportunity to come out. You can try, you know, as many beers as we have. Well, you couldn't try all of them, but, you know, you can get 30 or 40 different flavors that you want to try. You're not committed to buying a 6-pack. You know, you don't have to go to 8 different bars to find all the different places. And so you go around, you find what you like. If you don't like it, please dump it out. don't force yourself to consume it. If you do like it, you can go back, or you can take notes, or try it, or, you know, just make a note. So it's all about discovery. Okay. That's really what the event is about.
Yeah, a lot of these beers that they pour aren't the cheapest beers in the world. We're not drinking. They don't have a bunch of Bud Lights and Miller Lights out there.
Yeah.
It's heavier. It's bigger beers, and because of that, it's more expensive beers. So you're looking at $15 to $20 bucks or more for a 6-pack or a bomber of one of these that you're able to kind of, for the price of admission, you're able to try.
Pretty much
anything you would want to try. So it's a hell of a deal.
Well, I'm curious about, it brings me, something just popped into my head. At a store like Evergreen, I'm sure you carry as many beer, different brands as you can. What's selling these days?
If you can figure that out, we're going to hire you. Because as soon as I think we figure out what we're selling, everyone's tastes change. But no, I mean, it's still people are kind of coming back a little bit. It used to be, and it still is to an extent, but those real big, high percentage beers. It seems like the trend of the beer world's kind of coming back to a more sessionable beer that you can sit down, enjoy, and have a couple without tripping over yourself when you're done. But there's still those people out there that look for, we had an event the other night for a bourbon barrel aged stouts. And I mean, those are still huge fan favorites in the area. So,
Yeah, it, I have it trouble
definitely,
with those.
It definitely swings multiple directions. I mean, what you're drinking now with a New England style, that was the craze of last year. I mean, as soon as the New England style hit the shelf, it was gone. Uh-huh. So that's kind of started to slim back, it seems like, a little bit, but okay. There's still those people out there.
How about the new Brute IPAs? What's
those are starting to click, yeah. I think that's kind of seems like that might be the next trend.
I missed that word. What?
Brute IPAs.
So it's like they use champagne yeast.
Yeah.
Making the beer. Huh. I've only had one. It was really good.
But, yeah. So that's new. I guess the next thing people keep thinking is coming is the so-called good-for-you beers. There's beers that...
Seems like Mick Ultra sold a lot of beer on that.
It's the Mick Ultra effect is what it is, but there's a lot of big craft breweries coming around with beers that are supposed to really replenish your electrolytes and kind of have a Gatorade-type effect to your body, that they is what they say, at least. Those are the next brews coming down the line.
I'm all for it. I can't wait to hear about those.
But...
So you also, I don't want to miss mentioning the new tasting bar here. So I can come out and have some tastes.
Absolutely. Yeah, we opened it up about a month ago, a little bit, two couple weeks before Christmas is when it actually opened. But we've seen the bourbon world is huge around here.
You got some Pappy out there. Yep, I can get a sample.
There's a lot of bourbon that you can't find bottles of nowadays that we decided to put on a tasting bar and kind of let you try it. So we've got probably 30 or 40 bourbons right now that you can try, including the full line of Pappy.
A line of Pappy. Top price, $45 a shot, right?
Top price, yeah. The Pappy 23 is $45. I will say, your listeners are going to say, that's ridiculous. We did our research. We went to some other tasting bars. We went to restaurants. That same shot of Pappy in some of the Louisville restaurants is upwards of $200 for a pour. So we tried to keep it somewhat manageable to really let the everyday person try what they want to try. And we've got stuff all the way down. I mean, you can get birthday bourbon, I think, is $8 or $9 for a pour. So there's some good bourbons on there for pretty cheap. And then we also have a couple taps of beer. So the Wessex Low Beam you have right now is on tap, as well as some other
beers. I mean, you have events, I guess, but yep. If I just want to come in and have one of these and walk around the store.
As long as the doors are open, you're welcome to, to have some beers or bourbon.
Okay.
So whenever you want. I mean, we've had people come in Sunday after shopping and want to just have a glass of bourbon. I've had multiple people come in here random parts of the day and say, listen, I got an opportunity to buy Old Forester Birthday or Old Forester President's Choice. I don't know which one to buy. Can I try each of them?
Try them.
So it's kind of a try before you buy in some instances.
All right. Well, I want to get back to some of the other events associated with Tailspin. Number one, you help people get there, right?
We do. We have 8 shuttle locations available this year. We've got some new shuttle locations, starting with Evergreen here in Middletown, and then the Ruck Regal store, Cox's Ruck Regal store down in J-Town. That's a new location. We've never had a shuttle in that part of town. We're also running shuttles from Knock Bar, so we've got a new shuttle from Germantown coming this year.
Wow.
And Against the Grain has got a shuttle this year, and so we've never had one from downtown.
Go to those places, and what's it cost?
Yeah, you buy your shuttle ticket in advance. They won't be available at the door that day, but it's a $15 ticket. It gets you a pint and a bite and a round-trip ride to the event. So you don't have to worry about driving or parking to the event. And you know, you get $15, or you get a pint and a bite to go with it. So it's your Uber probably costs more than $15 either way. So it's really a great deal.
Well, that's a good deal. Well, we got to wrap it up, but I want to get all the details, time, place, etc. Things.
February 16th. The date's February 16th from 3 to 7 p.m. We have general admission tickets left and shuttle tickets, as well as DD tickets. General admissions are $50. The DDs are $15. And you can purchase them at tailspinalefest.com. We will sell out probably in a couple of weeks.
Wow. How many tickets are there?
So there's just over 3,000 tickets for sale. Mm-hmm. And then we have certainly sponsors and things. There'll be around 4,500 people in the gates that day.
Wow. Sunny skies, 50 degrees.
No promises.
60 degrees.
I read the almanac yesterday. They said it's going to be a mild February.
You should not have done that. That was
you may have jinxed it. Well, I've been out there when it's been rainy and windy and cold, so it can't be like that.
We've beer certainly done the it. Same. We've done it in all conditions. The beer tastes good no matter the weather.
All right. Trevor, Mike, thanks for being on the show. We'll see you out of Tailspin.
And that is the news from the Rusty Satellite Show. Another great episode in the books. Thank you for joining me. I will remind you that I'm always looking for the most interesting people in the Bill to have on the show. Next week, I hope, with the news, on the heels of the news that the airport is changing its name to honor Muhammad Ali, I am attempting to get Dan Mann, the top guy at the airport, on the show. I'm hoping that'll happen for you next week. We'll talk about that and some other issues at the airport. And if you've got a suggestion for someone who would be a great guest for me on the Rusty Satellite Show, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me at Rick Redding on Facebook, or there's Rusty Satellite Show social media. There's a Twitter feed. There's a Facebook page. So hit me up if you'd like to suggest, or maybe even you yourself think you're interesting enough to be on the Rusty Satellite Show. I'd love to have you. Also producing other podcasts. If you've got a podcast idea you want to run by me, I would be happy to work with you on getting that produced. My new thing. It's my new gig. Anyway, thanks again for joining me. Passport Health Plan, the Eye Care Institute, and Heiser Health are the current sponsors of the show. I really appreciate their participation in making podcast magic happen here in the Louisville.am studios. So remember, you can always subscribe to the show on iTunes and check us out each and every week right here on the Louisville.am network. This is Rick Redding for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.